Please say hello. Get your Bibles out tonight. I hope if you're here tonight, you're feeling all right. And then maybe we have some people. We probably have a bunch of people watching online. Is that right, Vic? What do we got, Joe? 16.
As high as 18, sir.
18. Well, if you're online, say hello. It makes gives Joe something to do and Victor. And it really messes up their Minecraft game over there. But John chapter number 6 tonight, we're going to talk about, I'm going to look at the scriptures at, I would say, probably two of the least popular ideas in the scriptures. Say, why? Might as well put them both together in one night and get it done with. And be a help to us. So, John chapter number 6. If you're in distress, anybody see this? How do you follow boxing? Anybody follow boxing? Anybody ever see boxing? Two guys stand in a ring and put gloves on and punch each other till one gets knocked out or falls down. Pretty much, right? That's described. If at any time the corner or the one manager of the boxer feels like his guy isn't wise enough to drop to the ground or feel like his body is unable to continue on, possibly getting hurt, they have a little white towel and they throw the towel in. It's similar to what we would say is raising the white flag. It means this. Oh, here's the unpopular. It means surrender. I surrender. I submit. I give up. Now, most times we'll look at that and say, well, that means we're weaker or inferior. But surrender doesn't necessarily mean inferior or weaker. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6 in verse 38 says, he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." You know what Christ just said there? I surrender to the will of the Father. I give up my will to do what God wants to accomplish. The man side of Jesus, I don't think would have necessarily chosen the pain and the suffering and the mocking and the beatings and the whipping of the cross. I think the man side of Jesus wouldn't have picked the lifestyle where he would say of himself, "I have no place to lay my head. I have no home." But he did all that. He submitted all that. He surrendered all of that to the will of the Father. What a great example to us. There's going to come a point in our life when we have got to surrender our will to the Lord. There's got to come a time when we raise the white flag and say, "I give up to you, God." Not that we give up on life. Not that we give up on living. Not at, quite the contrary. It's, "I give up on my will. I raise the white flag. I throw the towel in," however you want to say it. "But God, I submit to your will." That's not popular. No one likes to do that. Why? Because we all have the greatest idea. We know what's best for us. That's what we think. We think we know what's best for us. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. We'll pray. I was expecting teenagers tonight, so tonight's message is going to be a little bit maybe shorter, and that's all right. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let's pray, and then we'll continue in the passage. 1 Peter number 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. God, thank you for those that are here tonight. Thank you again for technology that allows us to broadcast the preaching of your word across the internet. And that's a blessing. And Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, thank you for the, again, the opportunity for that. Lord, I pray that you bless service here tonight as we continue with these difficult thoughts of surrender and suffering tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the benefit and the joy in it And God, that you would help us through that. I know I need help with that. Lord, I pray that, again, you'd maybe change our mindset a little bit towards you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the least liking feelings is one of being out of control. We don't like that. We don't like to be out of control. We like to be in control of our life. That's why we buy snow tires. That's why, you know, we go through efforts to live in an area where we feel comfortable and all of those things. But there comes a point where, in our Christian walk, where we have got to give up to what God has for us. Because our ways are different than God's ways. And our direction is different than God's direction. And if you keep following the way that you want, you're going to end up in a place that you don't want to be. Say, where's that? Away from where God wants you to be. 1 Peter chapter number 2, let's look at verse 12. It says this, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or as unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. This is coming from Peter. Peter is prey to the, at the time, the persecution of the church. And for him to say this some 30 years after Christ or so, around 30 years, three decades after Christ has died, buried, and rose again, as he pens these words, he's certainly lost loved ones, friends to persecution for their faith. And he says, it is God's will that you submit to that. Man, that's a hard pill to swallow. That's tough. We don't like that. We don't like waving the white flag. We don't like surrendering. We don't like submitting. God says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Let's take out the government. Let's take out, I mean, not literally take out the government, but let's set aside the thought of government here for a moment, and let's look at it through our submission to something that's perfect. God Himself. It's a hard time. Sometimes we have a hard time submitting to such an imperfect system. The judicial system's broke. The economy's broke. You know, and we can go through all the reasons that why this doesn't apply to us, and we try and justify it. But if we do a little history, it was probably worse then than it is here. But let's take the government aspect out of it, and let's just look at it as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The philosophy of God being in charge. See, the problem isn't who's in charge. The problem is my unwillingness to surrender to who's in charge. Because we have the same hard time with a perfect, holy, righteous God that does nothing but good for us and to us. And yet we still have a hard time surrendering and submitting to His will, much less a broken government. So maybe the problem isn't with the thing we're trying to submit to. Maybe it's us and our submission. Christ is the Lord of all. And you know, as we submit to God, we actually give up our rights for others. Say, is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. It's for the benefit of others. The authority, what do we see here that certainly helps with order and protection? As God, as we submit to God's order, wow, things just... Can I just ask you to consider in your life for a moment how things go when you put yourself over God? It never goes good. And every time at the end of it, we always say the same thing. Next time. Next time. When God tells me to do something, I'm just going to do it. And then the next time comes and we kick against it and we hate it and we're like, I'm not doing it. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then we say, next time. After we ask the Lord to help us and get us out of this mess and fix things, and he does. You know, it would be a good idea in our earthly government that we pray for our government. Rochester just voted in or just signed up for a new mayor. And we should pray for him. Our local town and town of Hamlin, Steve Bass, he just got elected in. We should pray for him. We should pray for our president. We should pray for our senators. We should pray for our representatives. That's our responsibility towards our authority. In Romans chapter 14, how many of you wish you had a pair of spiritual scissors to cut certain verses out of the Bible? Anybody? Brother Bauman, you wish you had one of those? Yeah, this is one of them. Romans 14, 12, I wish it wasn't in there because it applies in just about every aspect of my life. Romans 14, 12 says this, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know what that means? I can't blame anybody else for my ill decisions. Well, they were mean, so I didn't submit. That's not how it goes. Well, I had a better idea than God, so therefore, that's not how it goes. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Because one day we're going to stand before the Lord and the Lord is going to ask us about things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us all about that. And we're going to say, yeah, but Emma Kate was, and he's going to say, who? No, it's just you and me. Yeah, but Joe Biden. I'm sorry, who? Well, it's just you and me talking right now. But the police, it's just you and me. And we're going to have to answer for our actions. If you've ever gone to a traffic court, anybody ever go to traffic court? Brother Rice, have you ever gone to traffic court? Yeah. Yeah, no? Kelly might have gone, or okay. Maybe you went together, how's that? That's where you met, that's what it was. And I forgot. And there you are, and you're standing before the judge. And I know it's just small-town traffic court, but you get nervous and you get scared. And they ask the very pointed question, were you speeding? Well, let me say, no. Were you speeding? Yes. Okay, great. Settled. Done. What else is there? Was your car inspected at the time of the ticket? No. What else can you say, right? God's going to ask you, did you do right? But what about, did you do right? Did you submit to my will? Yeah, but I want, did you submit to my will, he's going to say. It wouldn't be bad. Brother Sutliff carries one around. I've seen him. He uses it as a handkerchief. But it wouldn't be bad every now and then to just carry a white flag and say, God, I give up. Here, I surrender to your will. Go back to 1 Peter chapter number 3. I know we were in 2 before, but look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. One of our least favorite words is to submit or to surrender. It just almost goes against our Americanism. I don't quit for nothing. We vote for the underdog. That's what we want. And but God says, why don't you just give up to me and I have so much to offer you. I have so much to do for you. I brought this point up some time ago. But God does have great plans for us. But so much of our time is spent arguing over the little things that we can never get to those other things that God had planned. Because we're too busy arguing over the fundamentals and over the foundation of our faith rather than being able to build upon. Because we just don't want to submit to what God has for us. Somewhere in our thinking that we think, we know that God has, by His spoken word, created the universes and the worlds, and He keeps it all spinning, and He died for you and I, but yet somehow we think in our life, I know what's best. I don't know where that comes from. It must be our sinful nature. But surrender is a hard thing. But when we get a hold of it, oh man, it just unlocks unlimited potential. Say why? Because now we are no longer relying on our resource limits and what we can do. We are submitted to God, who is the God of heaven, who holds all power and all knowledge. What a difference. I ask that you consider in your own life, are you surrendered to His will? I know you have plans. I know you have thoughts towards things, but what does God want? Let us remember this, and we'll move on to the second point. But let us remember that God does allow us to do what we want to do. And you may get exactly what you wanted, only to get exactly what you wanted. 1 Peter chapter number 3, in verse 14, in our submission and surrender to the Lord, there's often a byproduct from that, and say, oh great, is it joy? Yeah, there's joy in that, but look at verse 14. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Here's the second word that we don't like so much. Number one, surrender or submission. Number two, suffering. We don't like suffering. How do you know? Well, look at the audience tonight. I mean, I don't feel good. I'm staying home, right? But no one likes that. No one feels good about that. No one is in a good mood when they're sick. We know that. And we know that when we suffer for the cause of Christ, this isn't talking about a cold or illness or a flat tire. This is talking about serious persecution here. And the Bible says this in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Even in the midst of suffering, He says, it is expected of you to walk as a Christian. That you be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas ye speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Conversation isn't just your words, it's all your conduct. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. God said right here that His will for your life might be suffering. We have a sign-up sheet out at the table. It's for our child dedication. We're excited. January 23rd, we bring the beautiful babies up and the little kids, and you know, it touches our heart and reminds us what this is all about, and you know, our commitment to young people and children, and how important it is to live an example. If there was a sign-up sheet out there that said, who's signing up for suffering? I don't want that. No one wants that, right? Brother Spamer, you don't want that. I don't want to suffer. God says, hey, but if you suffer for my sake, happy are ye. I've done some dumb things, just not thinking. My brother-in-law, we were making, remember the little wooden cars? Remember those? And those are cool until you stick your hand in the table saw. That's dumb. He's like, why didn't you come over to the house and make it at my house, where I have a complete wood shop that would be able to do it? I just wanted to do it real quick. He's like, well, were you using a pusher piece of wood to push it across? I said, no, I wasn't. He said, how were you cutting it? I said, against the grain at an angle. He goes, and sure enough, my finger just went, boom, right into that table saw blade. That's not suffering for the Lord. That's just dumb. And often our dumb decisions we blame on our suffering for the Lord. No, you just made a bad decision. What we're talking about here is doing right and suffering for God's sake, not just because of your lack of common sense, to which I am guilty. 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll look at a couple verses and make a couple points here. And 1 Peter chapter number 4, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Hey, what he's pretty much saying, Peter is saying, he says, what God expects of you is that you surrender your life to Him. You say, okay, good. How's that go? Well, you're going to experience suffering. Don't be surprised, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." I was trying to do right, and it's hard. Peter pretty much says, no kidding. If doing right was easy, everyone would do it. "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Understand this, that the suffering that we experience for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, at the end of it all, we will certainly be happy about that. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and God resteth upon you, and on their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer," he goes, don't do wrong, "or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." Man, we talk about this often. I talk it over with our young people a lot, and the neighbors that words keep. Say, what do you mean? Here we have murderers and thieves and evildoers. And look at that third category. Do you see what God puts in that category? Busybodies. Gossip. People that like to cause trouble. God says, I'm just going to lump you in there. I don't see a drunkard in this passage. I don't see a lazy, slothfulness. I'm sure there's other verses. But here in this passage, he says, you're going to suffer something from a murderer and a thief and an evildoer and a busybody. Puts it all in the same neighborhood. All right, enough with that. That wasn't even in the notes. Verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." What's he say? He says, you're going to go through some things. Hey, you align with the Lord Jesus Christ. You submit to His will. The world doesn't like that. And you're going to experience some residual effect from that. You may experience some suffering. Hey, so did Christ, if I can remind you, he says. And you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be worth it all. God actually is going to get glory from that. Go with me to Romans chapter number 8. A verse we all know, kind of. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good." And sometimes we leave that verse right there. But the Bible says there's more to that verse. We would like to think all things work together for good, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It all works out good for those that do this. I give up. I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you want. Use me however you want, God. God, I no longer want to walk in the direction I see fit. I want to follow your path for my life. He says, all right, come this way. You're going to experience suffering. And the Bible says this, it all works out good in the end. Two things no one wants to participate in: surrender and suffering. And that's God's will for our life. Great. Remember Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in the jail having been beaten and imprisoned for what? Stealing? No. Didn't steal chariots? No. Murder? No. Preaching the gospel. They get locked up and there they are. What are they doing? singing praises to God because they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. Let's not forget those stories. In 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 17, we read this verse, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Hey, we're going to experience difficult things in life. That's just part of life. Wouldn't you rather be doing it for righteousness' sake? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, a little bit after what we were just looking at. And we're almost done. A couple more verses, a little story, and then we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, "Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God." Again, it just completely blows our mind to think that God's will could be suffering. Doesn't God want me happy? No. You're here to please Him. And sometimes difficult things, listen, difficult things draw us closer to Christ. Suffering draws us closer. That's just the reality of suffering. "Wherefore, let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto the faithful Creator." When we're experiencing suffering, because we've surrendered, we don't get to quit and a pass on doing right. That's what it says. "Let us commit the keeping of the souls to Him in well-doing." I'm going to keep doing right, even though I am suffering for the cause of Christ, because I surrendered to His will. That's the course. God may include suffering as well as good times while doing and saying right things. There are good times in serving the Lord. Please do not get me wrong. When you obey God, there is a joy, and it mentioned it multiple times in our passages here tonight. Our obedience and surrender to God produces joy in our life. In the midst of good times, may we do right. In the midst of difficult times, may we do right. Let's think about Christians under communism, the Chinese Christians, the Christians that serve the Lord through the regime of the USSR. That wasn't that long ago. Brother Spamer, you remember that? Yeah. A missions director once met with the mother of one of his agency's missionaries and spent some time getting to know her. She prepared tea for the director in her parlor. As they drank the tea, she explained, sounds like not in the United States. It's not. We'll see it. But who drinks tea in their parlor? Anyways, she explained to him the difficulty of having a daughter on the mission field of China and a son as a missionary in Sudan. "I don't know the woman, but if her two children are serving the Lord, telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ in China and Sudan, she's done something right." She loved and missed them dearly, but as she explained, her love for God allowed her to let them follow His will for their lives. The mother went on to describe the burden her son had for the Sudanese people. Her relay of his description of the people brought her to tears several times during the conversation. The missions director left her house having a deeper appreciation for the parents of missionaries and a greater burden for the country of Sudan. A few months later, the missions director got word that a missionary in Sudan had been killed. It was the Scottish lady's son. Feeling he should be the one to break the news to her, he once again visited the mother in her home. After telling her the tragic news, the mother looked down, and in a few moments of composure, she said, "Sir, I would rather have my son die in the middle of Sudan alone than to have him living here with me, disobeying God's will." And that story is what we're talking about here tonight. I'm not saying that we have to go die for the cause of Christ. But please understand that surrender will bring about suffering. Think it not strange. 1 Peter 3:14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. There are things that we will experience that have no connection to our witness for the Lord, in that a broken bone, a loss of a job, but understand that all those things help us grow in our faith. It's sometimes an attitude adjustment. It's what God expects through all of those difficult things when we surrender to Him. And we may experience some suffering. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. When we surrender our life to the Lord, there's going to be an effect on the lost, but also an effect on our life. Make sure that we're grateful and experience an attitude of gratefulness and thanksgiving through that. I encourage you to focus on God instead of the circumstances. It's easy to look around and get consumed with the things that are happening around us. Praise the Lord through the whole thing. Remember this, God is with you. Give thanks even when you don't feel like it. I wrote this down and maybe it'll be a help to you. I like lists. If you ever somehow hack into my computer and you look at my files, there's a lot of lists. I like organization, and don't look at my desk for organization, look at my computer for organization. But maybe you make a list of things to be thankful for. See, sometimes we look at life and go, man, it is just hard right now. Maybe you make a list of the things that you're thankful for, and instead of praying for the list of needs, you pray through the list of things to be thankful for. God expects us to surrender. And in surrender, there may be some suffering. But at the end, you understand that God gets glory from that. And that's why we were created. So think it not strange when suffering comes your way. Maintain your testimony and do right through that. Make sure you maintain an attitude of thanksgiving through it all. Because it's possible. You know, it's easy maybe to get bitter against another person. Oh, they did me wrong or something. It's possible even to get bitter against the Lord. Because we look at it and say, why would you allow And some of those questions don't have answers on this side. We don't know. If we knew all those answers, we'd be gone. So I encourage you here tonight, the two maybe least favorite words in all of Christianity. I give up. God, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And then suffering. Let's all stand.